This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
11 minutes after 6 with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off in your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from last Friday, May corn was down 2 to 342.5, July corn was down 1.5 to 351.75, and September corn was down 1 to 361. On to soybeans for May, they were down 3.25 to 797. July beans were down 3.5 to 809.25, and August beans were down 3.75 to 815.75. May wheat was down 2.75 to 419. July wheat was down 4.75 to 424.75. And September wheat was down 4.75 to 433.75. May soybean meal was down $1.20 to 284.10. July soybean meal was down $1.80 to 287.30. And August bean meal was down $1.80 as well to 289.20. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 16 cents to 26.50 a gallon. July bean oil was up 16 cents as well to 26.79. And August bean oil was also up 16 cents to 26.93. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Friday afternoon. This morning's USDA World Supply and Demand Report raised both corn and soybean production and carryout for the 2019-2020 crop year. In northern western Illinois country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids 2 to 4 cents lower at 301 to 334. Soybean bids were down 2 to 4 at 724 to 765. In central Illinois country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids 1 to 3 cents lower at 319 to 337. Soybean bids are down 4 cents at 741 to 774. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 4 cents lower at 316 to 347. Soybean bids were down 3 to 4 at 744 to 788. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 cents lower at 775 to 784. Basis was steady at 3,400 to 2,500 in July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 266.30 to 287.30 a ton. Down $1.80 a ton, with basis unchanged at 2,100 option to July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents lower at 332 to 352, with basis steady at 2,000 option to July. Illinois River barge loading elevators coated to produce corn bids mixed at 336 to 344, with basis unchanged up 3 at 1,600 to 8 under the July. Soybeans ended down 4 cents at 771 to 776, with basis steady at 3,800 to 33 under the July. New crop wheat prices are down 5 cents at 395 to 418, with basis unchanged at 30 under to 7 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal base place, their producer corn bids 5 cents lower at 361 to 362. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 4 to 5 cents, so quotations at 454 to 455. Soft wheat closed down 5 cents at 454 to 455. Milo ended the day 2 cents lower at 347 to 348. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 314 to 341. Soybeans at 748 to 778. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 329 to 347. Soybeans at 768 to 790. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 308 to 347. Soybeans at 757 to 788, and June-July wheat at $4 to 433. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June live cattle were up 50 cents to 112.45, August live cattle were up $1.30 to 108.90, and October live cattle were up $1.37 to 109.02. May feeder cattle were up $1.37 to 137.62. August feeders were up $2.35 to 146.82. And September feeders were up $2.50 to 147.77. Finally, lean hogs for May stayed steady at 83.75. June lean hogs were down 32 cents to 89.67. And July lean hogs were down 22 cents to 90.75. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield one more time this morning for last Friday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations to a 200-pound pork carcass traded 28 cents higher, in a range of $72 to $84, with a weighted average carcass price of $80.80. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price was steady, with good demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $50 to $54, 4 to 5 weighted at $53 to $59, 5 to 6 weighted at $56 to $62, and over 600 pounds, $59 to $65. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $51 to $57. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $16,750. From the Direct Cattle Trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $116.50 to $120, and on a dress base at $185 to $194. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $116 to $180. On a dress base at $185 to $188. From the National Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 266 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $86.16, which is 66 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $221.11, which is 136 lower, while select carcasses are $207.46, which is 38 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000 compared to 121,000 last week and 120,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 439,000 compared to 460,000 last week and 430,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys at the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Monday morning. Brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust with 19 locations to serve you. Once again, we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. And starting off in ag news this week, Congress is making another go at disaster aid, including help for Midwestern farmers that were stricken by historic flooding, though Senate action was still in question. The package includes $3 billion more for flood and other storm losses of crops, dairy, and on-farm stored commodities in the Midwest and elsewhere, plus Army Corps of Engineers Project Storm Repair Help. Texas Republican Mike Burgess says it's the third try over 6 months for lawmakers to desperately get needed disaster help across the finish line.
This third iteration of disaster relief legislation is similar to a bill passed by the House in January of this year with an additional $500 million for the Department of Agriculture's Emergency Conservation Program to rehabilitate damaged farmland, $1.5 billion for the Army Corps of Engineers for projects of flood mitigation, and $1 billion for the Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Account for rebuilding houses, businesses, and public infrastructure.
But Republicans largely opposed the $17 billion measure when Democrats blocked more money for border security and humanitarian help. The bigger fight, though, is in the Senate, where Democrats killed an earlier bill in a spat with the president over the adequacy of Puerto Rico hurricane aid. A new GOP offer includes more for the island. Back in the House, Appropriations Chair Nita Lowley had this.
American citizens are relying on our federal government to deliver a robust disaster relief package. They've waited long enough, and frankly, they can't afford to wait any longer.
But several farmers told House Ag lawmakers last week even disaster aid won't be enough to cover losses, with some estimates now hitting more than $12 billion in the Midwest alone. This month's World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimate report is calling for higher corn production, lower soybeans, and a slight jump in wheat production. The corn crop is projected at 15 billion bushels, up from last year, and the second highest on record. Lower exports will mean higher ending stocks, with total corn supplies at a record high of 17.2 billion bushels. The season average farm price for corn is projected to be $3.30 per bushel. The U.S. soybean crop is projected at 4.15 million bushels, 394 million lower than last year. U.S. export share is expected to rise 35% from the record low of 32% because of higher supplies and competitive prices. Soybean ending stocks are projected at 970 million bushels, a drop of 25 million. The season average price for soybeans is projected at $8.10 per bushel. The U.S. wheat crop is projected to be at 1.897 million bushels, up less than 1% from last year. Wheat suppliers are increased by 41 million bushels because of the higher carry-in stocks and larger production. The projected season average price for wheat is $4.70 a bushel. And in other ag news from around the country, states along the Mississippi River are dealing with the impact of prolonged flooding. The Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative is an effort made by 89 mayors in locations stretching from Minnesota down to Louisiana to make the river more sustainable. Agriculture is the third largest economy on the Mississippi River, generating $33 billion in annual revenue directly supporting nearly 200,000 jobs just in the Mississippi River Valley alone. Mayors along the river conducted a press call last July, hoping the trade war with China would be done by now. When you combine the extended period of river flooding with a suddenly escalated trade war, ASA President Davy Stevens says it's a double dose of difficulty for agriculture along the river.
So one of the things that we looked at in 2017 when the tariffs were spoke about in December, we started preparing and working with the administration. We tried to urge administration to get something worked out before the tariffs were implemented in July. Once in July, they went into effect, July of 18, and they went into effect, and here we are 10 months after that fact, and we're still working with administration and then with the overnight talk with what we have put in additional tariffs. It's heightened the conversation.
Stephen says the ASA is discussing ways to work with the White House on how to handle the flooding problems. In the meantime, Davenport, Iowa Mayor Frank Kilpish says increasing the tariffs on Chinese goods from 10 to 25% makes things even more difficult for the struggling Mississippi River economy.
This adds further stress to an already disaster-weary Mississippi River commodity economy. U.S. agricultural exports to China are critical to the Mississippi River economy and, of course, to our nation. China is the largest international destination for U.S. soybeans, importing more than 27 million tons of U.S. soybeans in 2017, 30% of all U.S. soybean production. And this is the second largest ag export market overall to the U.S. Of particular note to our region, half of the top 20 soybean-producing states in the U.S. are along the Mississippi River, including Illinois, our state of Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, and Arkansas.
The Mississippi River creates approximately $500 billion in annual revenue and supports 1.5 million jobs. Cities along the river are sustained in part by several sectors of the economy that feed into commodity production, including shipping and manufacturing. Moving on to state ag news, the Illinois River is going to crest at a record that's been pushing authorities to add height to existing levees to keep water out. Pike and Scott County Farm Bureau Manager Blake Roderick says a new crest prediction from the Army Corps of Engineers will set the river on a pace to pass the highest recorded level seen since 1943. It's hard news to hear after so much has been done to try to hold the river back.
Illinois River is another story. They had a lot of predictions for some really high water. The levee districts have been preparing for that high water. They kind of got a punch in the gut here, so to speak.
Roderick adds that the fight isn't over once the crest hits. A high river is expected for weeks, and that adds pressure to soaked levees. In other state ag news, fire officials say a blaze at an Archer Daniels Midland Company facility in Decatur is out after crews worked more than 6 hours to extinguish it. The Decatur Fire Department says in a release that its firefighters worked with ADM employees Thursday to put out the fire at the East Ferries Parkway facility. Firefighters arrived just before 11 a.m. Thursday to the ADM feed house. The fire department says contractors who were doing maintenance work accidentally set material on fire. Fire officials say it was difficult to reach and fully extinguish the fire because of its location. Officials say the fire was put under control by about 5 o'clock Thursday evening. In local livestock news, we have the latest results from Greenville's livestock auction last Wednesday, May 8th. There were total receipts of 1,028, with total receipts in cattle of 945, 83 in sheep and goats. Slaughter steers and heifers traded $2 to $3 lower on high choice and $3 to $4 lower on low choice and selects. Holstein steers traded unevenly steady on high choice and $1.50 lower on low choice and selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded unevenly steady on medium-large 1 to 2s and $3 to $6 lower on unvaccinated, unweaned to short-weaned calves and medium-short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded $1 higher on better cows and $1 to $2 lower on slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded unevenly steady. And remember, as always, you can catch the full report from the Greenville Livestock Auction on our website at WSMIRadio.com. And finally, in local news, the Hillsboro FFA chapter held their annual Food for America event last Friday. This event allows third graders in the Hillsboro School District to come to the high school in Hillsboro to find out where their food comes from. I had the opportunity Friday to attend the event and even got a few comments from some of the FFA members about how they helped with the event. Aaron Kistner, what did you do?
I talked about farm safety, pretty much told the kids what to be cautious of, and they got to go up in a tractor. It seemed like they had a really fun time learning about not only how to be safe, but how the tractor works also.
And we've got Joey Kaiser here also from WIT, and your dad sells soybeans, so you were picked to do the soybean station. So what did you tell the third graders today?
I told them about how Tootsie Rolls have soy lecithin in them.
And Preston Lyerly, you helped with that too, and you had another event you did also.
So what I did was I pretty much just fried fish all day and helped Joey out with like sprayers and what happens like whenever you go spray the bean field with pesticides and herbicides. And then I fried fish, and the kids got to go around and try a piece of crappie.
And we got Drake Mullen here too, and Drake, you helped Aaron out today with safety?
Yes, and I also carried some tables for Mr. G.
There you go. And a lot had to go on today to get this put together. Aaron, this has been a big tradition for the FFA chapter. I personally remember it when I was a third grader. So how was this put together kind of with a new ag teacher? How has the tradition been able to continue?
Well, it did take a lot of process, as you said, getting the tables together. We set everything up yesterday. But this year was probably definitely the best I've seen, having everybody so organized and having the kids so excited for everyone. And we were so lucky to have so many pigs and goats and chickens and rabbits that it just made everything go great.
And this is the last big event for the whole entire year. So what are you guys looking forward to here in the summertime and for next year?
I think we're looking forward to the pork patty stand, and I think we're really looking forward to the new members coming up.
What about you, Joey?
State convention.
Preston?
National convention.
Drake?
National convention.
And again, that was Aaron Kistner, Joseph Kaiser, Preston Lyerla, and Drake Mullen, all of the Hillsboro FFA chapter, after Food for America last Friday. And for this Monday morning, May 13th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.